Hi, I'm Debbie Schlaprizi, and welcome to The Splendor of You. Lately, I've been thinking a lot. I had a chance to get away a little bit, and just for a few days. It's amazing the difference that can make as far as how our mind begins to clear, and maybe it's just relaxing a little bit, but it makes a difference. And I'm struck particularly today about the whole idea of, what am I living for? What are you living for? I know that I want to help my kids to live their best self. I want to encourage them. My kids are all adults, and I have little bitty grandchildren now. But I want to encourage my kids, pray for my kids to live their best life. It's their life now. I don't have the influence I once did. Perhaps you're a younger parent. Your kids are in process. Of course, we're all in process, but your children, you're still in a place where you're shaping them, influencing them, directing them. So for me, I want to help my kids live their best life. I want to spend time with my husband and add to him living his best life. Don and I are both getting older, and I'm really realizing what a precious commodity time is. How about your time? How are you spending it? Maybe you're in such a whirl that you think, are you kidding me, lady? I'm lucky that I'm even functioning here, okay? I'm getting through one moment at a time, one day at a time. I fall asleep and I wake up the next morning and begin it all over again. Well, we've got one life, folks, and this is it. One moment to spend time in the best way possible. That's not to start getting fearful of, whoa, it's over. It's just an awareness, a mature awareness, asking God to open up our eyes to the great, great gift of time. And please, Jesus, let us take a moment to be able to step back and look at it. That piece in regards to my husband, it's funny, when I was away, I either prayed it or I dreamt it. But either way, I'm really grateful for the insight, because it hit me that I'm called, all of us are called, to refrain from saying those things that will sadden or embarrass another. I mean, outside situations, not circumstances, God forbid, something you have to share with another, bad news, whatever. That's a different story. I'm talking about our own commentary that can sadden or embarrass another. And you know, I thought of my husband. Don is a gem of a guy. And as I was thinking about it, I thought, there are things that I say to this guy that does just that. Perhaps it may embarrass him or certainly saddens him. And it was real awakening for me. And you know, part of that is because I think, wow, you know, if I speak long enough and often enough, if I explain to the nth degree and I am persuasive and not shut up until I get there, then, you know, I'll have done my job. Well, I gotta tell you, friends, I'm well past 50 years old and I'm past 60. And those of you that are past where I am, you know that that doesn't work real well. God gives us the freedom to be able to think on our own, and we have to give our loved ones that freedom as well. And then we make choices for ourselves. But the point is that there is a great deal that goes on where I think that I absolutely know it, and it's not having to do with faith and morals, and that my way is the great way and the only way. There's something to be said to leaving the argument where it is. And not finding every single word in the universe that I can use that will be persuasive. Maybe this isn't your issue, and if not, I apologize for going on. But if it is, and if it's something that there's a little quirk, you know, a little scratching at your conscience, it's a good and easy thing that God can help us with. When I say easy, all of a sudden there's an awareness that I would never want to sadden or embarrass a loved one of mine, and maybe I'm doing it inadvertently. It's a real chance to just say, Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. And when our situation, we're not persuasive and we're not, the loved one isn't getting it, it's nice to know that they're not going to get it by my just hammering it. Okay? So much can be attained by giving God time. Time for God. Time that He has where I don't fill up all the space. Where I allow God an opportunity to work. Where I say, Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. That's such a wonderful, wonderful prayer. St. Padre Pio was a big one for it. And I forget the name of the priest that was a spiritual director, Diablo, that talks about 10 times over and over, Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. You know? There's great beauty in asking Jesus to give us the eyes to see, to really give us revelation, so that we're not caught by surprise when we see the good Lord face to face. You know, it'd be nice to get some of it right down here before I see Jesus face to face. So Lord, open up my eyes to truly see, to see what you're calling me to see truth. Just the other night, as I think about, you know, seeing truth, opening my eyes, just the other night, I watched and listened to a national leader speak. And as he spoke and sort of lumped all of us into one big basket, I felt so much on the outside. The life that he talks about and the experiences he was talking about and the way of being that he was touting is completely foreign to me in the life I live and the life of many of my friends and my loved ones. In the end, as I was listening to this national leader, I felt like, you know, a little kid. It reminded me of when I was a little desperate and my kids were acting out, and I just grab a cookie and, you know, jam it, say, here's a cookie. I give them a little, you know, a little crumb, a little treat to keep them quiet. I'm not saying that was a good way to do it. I'm just looking back on life and thinking, you know, that idea of here it is, and then the kids would just, they'd be quiet for a while. They'd nibble on their little cookie, huh? I felt like that. There was a part of me that was angry. I felt like that I was being given a cookie, you know, to kind of buy time, give me another little crumb to tide me over. I don't like living by being fed crumbs, with the promise that if I'm good, maybe I'll get two cookies in the end. It makes me think about Jesus and freedom. Our God is not about control. He's about freedom for you and me as individuals. Freedom to do the right and best thing. Freedom for us to become all that He created us to be. Freedom for us to become who He knew us to be before He even formed you in your mother's womb. Knowing you before He even formed you. There's no other, you know, cookie cutter situation. Factory made you or me. In the midst of being really frustrated, which is what I was listening to the speaker, the idea of being able to turn to God and say, wow, Lord, thanks for loving me. You get me. You trust me. You believe in me. You empower me to make decisions that are good for me. You knew me before you even formed me in my mother's womb. Don't you pray? Don't you want God to open your eyes to all that He calls you to see? To see the good and the beautiful that might be right under our feet, and we don't even notice. We don't even notice. I just gotten back, as I said, I was out of town for just, I think it was 3-4 days. And when I arrived home, I had an opportunity to see one of my daughters with her little one, and another one of my daughters with her little one, and another one of my daughter-in-law with her little one, and then a conversation with my daughter who is on another coast. conversation with my son. And you know, those little kids, I don't see them one-on-one. But when I had an opportunity to just see, there are three of my children that are married, and I was able to see at least one of the children in each one of those three families. These kids are amazing. Right under my eyes, there's so much beauty. My friends, what's right under your eyes? What are you living for? Is there any beauty you may be missing? God, open our eyes to see the beauty that's right under our nose. And open our eyes to the evil that's hidden under the guise of euphemisms that drip like honey and cut like a knife, political correctness, and groupthink. Let us see what's behind all of that, too. Lord, help us to have your courage to see the truth and to possess the freedom to be our best, our true selves. So here we are, you know, we're approaching spring. It's a great time, a beginning, to think about what are you living for? Wherever you may be on your life's walk, what at this moment are you living for? Could there be some time that you could carve away this week to step aside to be with our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament? Not with the litany of all the prayers that you think you've got to make the checklist to say. I'm not putting them down. I'm just talking about a different experience where we take a breath and we step away and we go see Jesus. And we say, Lord, help me to know. Help me to know what I am truly living for and what you call me to live for. You know, I had an opportunity, I guess it was a few weeks ago. I don't think I talked about this on air, but if I did, I apologize. My dad died less than a year ago, and I had an opportunity to be in my dad's office. My dad started his company from scratch. And Pop died, God bless his soul, at almost 94 years old. He built up a really fabulous company. But beside that, I had an opportunity to step in my dad's space. I went in his office, and thanks be to God to all my, I have six brothers and one awesome sister and one mom who's one strong, tough cookie. I had an opportunity though, thank goodness, my brothers all kept Dad's office intact, to walk into my dad's space. And it was an amazing experience. I later talked to my spiritual director about it because I had been on retreat and I took the break from retreat to attend an event at the office. And while I was there, I had an opportunity to step into my dad's actual space. And I was telling Father about it and he said to me, Debbie, that was all about God. God deals with the real, the actual. So when I was in that space where my dad was, to be able to see where he sat, to touch it, to pick up the pencil he held in his hand, to look at the pad of paper where he had written his notes, to see the photographs all throughout the office, just to be in that space, there was something very real and substantive about it. We have that kind of an experience, only even more powerful, the brilliance of God, when we receive the Eucharist. We are receiving something that is real, you know, that's tangible. When I was in my dad's space, I didn't see my dad as, you know, I was used to, day in and day out, seeing his physical presence. But there was something very, very real about being where he sat, where he worked, where he spoke, where he spent his time. You and I have an opportunity. Those of us that can get around have an opportunity where we can receive our Lord in that substantive, real way in the Eucharist. We can experience that. Do we do that? Do you and I take advantage of it? For those of us that may go on Sunday, great. Have we put in another few days? For those of us that go every day, great. Do we go on Saturday as well? For those of us that just show up, have we ever gone there a little early and just allowed ourselves to settle down? The only reason that I'm even thinking about certain questions and about time is because I was blessed with the opportunity to step away for 3 or 4 days and have a little time. And it wasn't like the first day was just a joyride. It was as stressful as anything. I'm like, why am I doing this? Why do I ever leave? It's exhausting. At an airport, you might as well take a beating. But in the end, it really was worthwhile. I'm saying that for any of you that decide to step away, just know that the immediate results are not great. Immediately, you're not going to feel like, wow, this is relaxed, this is wonderful. It's not like that. But my friends, the only reason that I had a chance to even think about anything outside of my everyday existence and what I have to do to stay alive is that I was able to step away. What would happen if we got to Mass just a few minutes early? For those of us that already go, what would that be like? You and I have a chance now. Just like what is around us, as we look, we can see the glimmer of spring around us. We can see now that there, wow, we can stay hopeful. It's coming. The joy and the new scenery of a new season. Maybe for you and me, that can mark a new season within us. What about you? Is it time for a new season in your life? A new way of thinking, speaking, living? As my mom would say, honey, are you improving the silence when you speak? If not, might as well zip it up. My friends, do you need a little time to step away? If so, don't let anything stop you. Nothing. And if it's right now, if there's urgency in illness or health issues or whatever may be going on, block it out. Block it out. Block out that step aside time in the next week, the next 2 weeks. But make it happen. You are worth it. Your best self, your true life, who you are called and what you are called to live into, is awaiting you. You and I only have so much time. What a commodity we have here. Time. Will we allow others to spend our time for us? Or will we, partnering with our God, who knew us before he formed us in our mother's womb, will we let him partner with us and live into the life he's called us to live? To step back with the divine architect of our souls. God bless you. Thanks for tuning into the Splendor of You. You and I still have time, this moment, this hour. Step aside, talk to the divine architect of your soul. You may be overdue. God bless you. Thank you so very much for taking your time, this moment, this day, to listen to the Splendor of You. And may God please use whatever words that have been shared here to bless your life, to touch your heart and my heart, so that you and I indeed can discover the splendor that is within us. God bless you. Thanks again for tuning in to the Splendor Review.